report highlighted, and this is a series of five reports that have been put out by the National Centre for Monitoring of Vascular Diseases at the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. And what they've done is, for the first time they've ever really combined the three chronic diseases, such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes and chronic kidney disease. What I found in this report, which is similar to what we're finding in communities and through some of our research in the Heart Foundation and the work we're doing in the Heart Foundation, is that the prevalence of heart disease in particular is much greater. It's affecting younger people and the hospitalisation rates are much higher. So there's like up to 1.2 times more likely to be hospitalised for chronic diseases, particularly heart disease. However, something that we've picked up before and we've been working on a major project for now at least 10 years is that although Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have more prevalence of cardiovascular disease, heart disease, by the time they get into hospital, they're much sicker. The disease is, you know, much greater, but they're not getting the same levels of surgery or procedures. So this was the one thing that I picked up in the report that the Heart Foundation's been working on. What we're looking at is that Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people that come into hospitals, they've had a heart attack, that they're getting appropriate care. So they're getting clinical care, but this has to be with a cultural lens on. So equal clinical and cultural care. We've got 8 hospitals across Australia which we've been working with. We've got a toolkit which describes initiatives and strategies that we believe are working. Anecdotally, we've seen some really good initiatives in these 8 hospitals. So that's one of the things that I picked up on with this report. The other thing with this report, which highlights again the risk factors of these chronic diseases, in particular heart disease. So the risk factors, and our biggest one is smoking. And this has been highlighted in other reports through the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare that have come out this year. But particularly the smoking, it's like 42% of our community are still smoking, where there's only 16% now in non-Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities. Smoking remains the biggest challenge. I think we've done some good inroads through the Tackling Indigenous Tobacco program, and I have seen firsthand how some of these communities have built up resources and some resilience to smoking through things that empower communities. Okay. And are driven by communities, yeah.
It's about risk, but also about prevention. I'm thinking about the high rates now of heart health for newborn babies. And in your report here, it talks about how more younger people are now developing cardiovascular disease. So what's happening there?
It's very complex. The causes are complex. The chronic diseases, particularly heart disease, occurring at much younger ages. To me, when we look at chronic disease and in particular heart disease, to me it's a pointy end of colonisation. It's so complex. It's not just risk factors for heart disease, but it's the social determinants and it's also the inequality. So the inequality and social disadvantage that Aboriginal people are born into is a big factor of, you know, the disease prevalence and chronic illnesses. We still have overcrowding. We still have some communities that have lack of sewerage. That sort of societal health is really, really important. And it's one of the major contributors to rheumatic heart disease, acute rheumatic fever, which is really one of our national shames, I believe, because we've still got our young babies that are dying from rheumatic heart disease, whereas in developed country, it's almost eradicated. And so this really highlights, I think, that health and healthy communities, particularly young children being born into disadvantage and inequalities, it really sets us up to have major impacts on health and wellbeing.
Would you say more needs to be invested in nutritional health, particularly like for women who are nursing their babies? A lot of women may not have access to fresh fruit and veggies, or as much access to fresh fruit and veggies and good protein. This can actually make an impact on the health of a child. Would you say that more needs to be invested in ensuring that there is better food available in communities and better, obviously, it's an issue also around food security in remote communities.
Yeah, absolutely, I think. The better start we can get our young children to have, even before they're born in utero, the mums are not smoking and having good nutrition is very, very important. So the earlier we can intervene in that sort of early prevention, much better outcomes for our children, but particularly the family and child services. There's some programs now that are really good. There's the Aboriginal Maternal Infant Health Strategy that's been operating for many years in New South Wales that looks at nutrition as one of the outcomes, smoking nutrition, also getting our young mums to good antenatal care is very, very important. I think it's a combination of all of them. I wouldn't like to sort of signal out one over the other. I think that the most important thing to me is smoking, but nutrition is very, very important. Also, so is us getting into get health checks. So if we have any risk factors such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, that we can get the right drugs at the right time to prevent coronary heart disease. But our nutrition certainly does play a big factor in providing a good start to, particularly as you said, to your young mums and then the young babies and toddlers too.